More bite from the SEC.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Securities and Exchange Commission says it is ramping up efforts to beat back bank fraud. The SEC's gotten some good marks for going after Goldman Sachs, but it's still answering questions about why it failed to spot accounting wizardry at the now-defunct Lehman Brothers. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live this morning to talk about all that. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
All right, so how does the SEC grow this? These new teeth?
Oh, the agency is going to do a bunch of things, but first it's going to try to stop the practice of hiding debt. This is what got Lehman Brothers in trouble, because it used accounting tricks to shift debt off the books just when it came time to release its quarterly report. The art of hiding debt from investors, though, is not limited to Lehman. Most banks do some version of it. That came out in a recent Wall Street Journal investigation. So yesterday, Mary Shapiro, she's the chairwoman of the SEC, told the congressional panel that her agency has sent a letter to 19 large investment banks asking this question.
What has been their average debt balances over the period so that we don't just have them dress up the balance sheet for quarter end?
All right, Gregory. So let's say the banks answer that letter and say, you got us. We're dressing up our balance sheets. Then what?
Well, the SEC says they'll make that information public. That's the first thing, because that's what they're accused of with Lehman, not letting the public know. So shareholders didn't know about the excessive borrowing inside Lehman until it was too late. Second thing is the agency is considering tighter disclosure rules. So if a firm uses a transaction to temporarily reduce the debt it's carrying, it would have to let investors know.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting live for us. Gregory, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Ben Franklin gets a new look today. The government's unveiling its latest currency redesign, this time for the $100 bill. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on a change to the very popular U.S. export.
I checked my wallet, and nope, I don't have a $100 bill in there. Almost never do. But foreigners' wallets, well, that's a different story. Dennis Forg is an expert in coins and currency in Chicago.
Almost 70% of the $100 bills issued are overseas. It's the standard note to hold money in, no matter where you go.
And that attracts foreign criminals, says Michael Lambert. He's assistant director for cash at the Federal Reserve Board.
Because it does circulate so widely, it is the note of choice for counterfeiters abroad.
Dennis Forg says the new 100 will be harder to counterfeit and better looking, too.
We're the last country that has bland notes. We're colorizing like the rest of the world.
In addition to color, the bills will include embedded images that make them harder to copy. There'll be a big PR campaign before the new C-notes come out later this year. That's to give consumers, retailers, and cash sorting machines time to recognize them as the real thing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are off 1% or less at the moment. Tech company profits Apple and Yahoo kept investors a little happier in Asia. The Nikkei added about 1%, a little more than 1% actually. Here at home yesterday, the Dow tacked on 25 points to close at 11,117. Boeing said profits for the first 3 months of the year topped Wall Street expectations. And another high flyer, Lockheed Martin, said this morning its earnings dipped 18%. It blames a big charge due to the new healthcare law.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Cash for Clunkers was a big hit in this country last year, and various European countries had their own versions. About a month ago, Russia launched one. Its $3.5 billion program comes just as auto sales there are in a big slump. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
A giant metal claw picks up one of several dozen rusty old Ladas from a parking lot at a car dealership in northern Moscow. Then it dumps it onto the back of a truck. The owner of each car got $1,700 towards the cost of a new Russian-built vehicle under the government's new program. Vladimir Ryabushka is the general director of a branch of Russia's largest auto dealer, Avtomir. He says 40,000 old cars were turned in to be scrapped during the program's first month.
Sure, the program will be a success. It was supposed to run for 9 months, but it's clear the subsidies will end earlier. Within 6 months, the funds allocated by the state will run out.
For the cheapest models, the rebate is a third of the sticker price. Without the government money, car buyer Vladimir Semyonov says he certainly wouldn't be trading up.
I don't have that kind of money to buy a new car. But I can sell my old one to the government for 50,000 rubles and buy a new one.
Mr. Semyonov may have to wait 3 months for the Lada he wants. The manufacturer, car giant Avtovaz, is struggling to crank up production. Last year, it only escaped bankruptcy with state help, so it welcomes the increased demand. As in other countries, boosting car sales is a main goal of the program. But in Russia, disposal of the vehicles may also have another long-term beneficial effect. Vladimir Bespalov covers the transport sector for VTB Capital Investment Bank.
This scrappage program is something new for Russia, and many Russian cars previously just had been thrown away. You could see them on the streets. So the culture of junkyards has not been developed in Russia prior to this program. So if they manage to build these scrappage centers, this will be a good success.
Some say the program is a success already. Avtovaz says it has sold 11,000 cars under the program in the first month alone. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, convenience stores do a lot of beer selling, so much so that one of the biggest chains is getting into beer making. 7-Eleven says it's going to roll out a private label brew later this month. That'll add to a line of wines it started offering last year. Spokesman says it's premium beer on a budget. Some beer connoisseurs say premium is in the taste buds of the beholder. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.